Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. We are so grateful that you have joined us again for another segment of the podcast. And as always, if you like what you hear, please like the content, share it with others, follow us. We would love to have you listening every couple of weeks as we come out with some new material for those who are involved in missions within the local church. Clint, a couple of weeks ago, at the annual meeting of the Arkansas Women's Missionary Union, I had the honor of recognizing Debbie Moore as she announced her retirement as our executive director. This is the third time I think Debbie has retired from Arkansas Baptist life.
Yes.
And we are all taking bets on how long is it going to be before she announces that she's back with us and really hasn't retired. So if you'd like to send something to us and give us your idea of how long it's going to take Debbie to come back home, just send us an email at missionize@absc.org. We'd love to hear from you, okay?
Make it sound like Debbie's a prodigal, like she's left home. When will she come to her senses and come back?
I know she's going to be around for a long time. She has told us that she is going to be the number one volunteer for WMU in Arkansas for her remaining days and remaining years, which are going to be many. So we're going to see her probably as much now as what we saw her when she was actually the executive director.
Yes.
Clint, I don't know if you have done any reading on the history of Arkansas WMU. I just finished a couple of chapters in a book. It's fascinating. It is incredible, the history. Folks may not know this, but National WMU was begun, I think, in 1888. Arkansas had WMU. It wasn't called WMU 5 years before then. Hmm. In 1883, it was called the Arkansas Woman Central Committee on Missions. They had a chairwoman who served in that role for several years, and then had several others. Of course, in 1888, that name was changed over, 1888-1889, to WMU, to go along with the national organization. The first executive director who was actually chosen to serve in that capacity was Dixie Jackson. Now, they had presidents, chair people of that committee prior to that time, but Dixie served from 1914 to 1929. We've had several to follow her. So at that meeting of the WMU, I also had the honor of introducing our new executive director of Arkansas WMU, and she's with us today as our guest. On October 1st, which has already happened when this particular segment drops, Laura Bramlett joined our missions team of the ABSC as executive director of the Arkansas WMU. Matter of fact, today, just before we're taping this particular episode, we had the honor of, honoring Debbie and welcoming Laura with a little reception for people in our building. Had a great number of people who were there, and even Sandy Wisdom Martin with the National WMU, and many there are taking bets on how long it's going to take Debbie to stay retired. More coming on that later. Okay, we may have a breaking announcement before we end this particular podcast. But we're grateful to have Laura with us. Welcome to Missionize, Laura, and glad to have you on board the missions team as the executive director of the Arkansas WMU.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here today. This is my first podcast to ever do, so
yay.
I'm excited to be a part. And I think it's very appropriate that it's a missions podcast.
Hey, it just goes up from here.
Okay. Yes.
So if you're invited to go to another one, hey, just
take it.
Take it. take it. Hey, Clint, there's a couple of things about Laura that kind of historic. Laura is our first executive director of the Arkansas WMU since Dixie Jackson, who is married. All other executive wow. directors have been single. Laura is married. We're going to allow her in just a moment to introduce herself. But there's one other thing that she shares with Dixie. For 10 years prior to Dixie becoming our executive director, back in 1914, she served as the chairman or the president of the executive board of the Arkansas WMU. Laura comes to us after having served 4 years as our president of the Arkansas WMU as well. So a lot of similarities yeah. there. This is kind of eerie, you know. As I dig more into history, there may be more, you know. But Laura, would you take a few minutes and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. So I live in Hope, Arkansas. My husband, Daniel, I've been married to him for almost 18 years, and he's the pastor of First Baptist Church Hope. And there's a lot of history there for his family. He grew up in that church. Debbie is actually his aunt. She grew up in that church. His great-grandfather, Debbie's grandfather, was the pastor there in the 1940s and 50s. And so just a lot of history at that church. We've been there for over 8 years now. And so we're just so blessed to be there. We were actually married there too. And then we have a son who's 16, Riley. He's a junior in high school. And then our daughter Ella is 13. She's in eighth grade. And they are huge supporters of me. I couldn't do any of this without them. So I'm so thankful for the family God's given me. We moved to Hope in 2017. In 2018, I went to my first Arkansas WMU meeting, annual meeting. And I remember at that meeting on the table, there were cards where you could fill out information about yourself and ways you'd like to be involved in WMU. And one of the options was possibly being part of the executive board. And I just had such a strong burden in my heart that I needed to check that box. I didn't know exactly what that entailed, but I just felt like I needed to say that I was willing to do that. And so I checked the box, and then it wasn't probably 2 weeks later that Debbie called and said, "Were you serious when you checked that box? Do you really want to be a part?" And I said, "Well, yes." And she said, "Well, we actually have a board member that's having to come off for health reasons, and we wondered if you would fill her spot for the rest of her term." And I said, "Absolutely." And so I came on in 2018 and served for several years as a board member. And then in 2021, I was elected as president and just finished, like you said, finished serving my 4-year term as president.
Awesome. Was there a spot on that card to put, "I'm interested in being the executive director"?
No.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So. And if there was, I would not have checked it.
So tell us about your role as president. Just what exactly does the WMU president do? You mentioned working or having a board. Kind of what's your leadership structure? Just what's the president do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've had a lot of people ask me that in the years that I served. But at the time, we were an executive board. We are now called a leadership team because we're part of the ABSC. We didn't really need to function as an executive board. And so last year, we changed to a leadership team. But so there's there still is a president, a vice president, and then a secretary treasurer. And then, of course, the executive director who works with them. And then there's 8 to 10. It can kind of vary depending on who's on there. Other members of the leadership team that live all around the state. So we try to get representatives from all parts of the state on the board. Okay, so let me go back and say what I did as president. I told you the leadership structure, but as president, I did lead the leadership team. We had 3 meetings a year, and so I would lead those meetings. And then I spoke in churches when I was asked to share about WMU and how we were involved. So every state president is a national vice president. And so I would go to the 2 executive board meetings for National WMU each year, one in June and one in January. And as a vice president, I got to serve on a committee. So I was on the endowment committee for 3 years. 2 of those, I was the chairwoman of that committee. And then just being involved in other missions events through the ABSC, going to the annual meeting and working the WMU booth and things like that.
Okay. Hey, there's a question that we love to ask guests who have missions as their heart. We've had Sandy Wisdom Martin on our podcast, executive director of National WMU, course, Debbie. We've had Jeff Ginn with the International Mission Board and several of our field personnel through IMB. And we love to ask this question. So love for you to share a response to where did your love for missions begin, Laura? Did WMU play a role in that? And who else did God use to shape your heart toward missions?
So I remember when I first was elected as president, I shared with the group there that I can't remember my life without WMU. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, so I was in all of the age-level missions discipleship programs. So started as a mission friend, went into GAs when I was in elementary school, and then in ACT-teen as a teenager. And so WMU, as I was growing up, was always a big deal. I learned about the missionaries. I tasted the international foods. I prayed for the missionaries, gave to the offerings. But I started working at the Florida WMU GA camp the summer after my freshman year of college. And it was there that God really got a hold of my heart for how missions impacted me personally. And so I remember at that camp, every Thursday night, we would lay out a huge world map. And we had black beans, and each bean represented 1,000 people. At the time, that's a lot more now, but at the time, there were 1.68 billion people in the world that had never heard of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not that they'd had the chance to respond and they said no, it's they'd never had the chance to hear about him. And so we would pour all of those beans out on the map for the girls to see a visual of what it looks like, all these people in the world that have never even heard the name of wow. Jesus. And so we did that week after week after week. And I remember the fifth week watching that, and the Lord just said, you've learned about this all these years. It's time for you to go and do it. And I knew at that moment that I was being called to international missions. I had no idea what that was going to look like. I was 19 years old. And so I was in college. I didn't know how that was going to play out, but I knew I'd never been on a mission trip overseas. But then God just gave me chance after chance after chance to go on short-term mission trips to Haiti, to West Africa, to Belgium. And so through that, the love for missions just grew. And then when I finished college, I had the opportunity to go as a journeyman to South Africa. And I got that position in South Africa because of missionaries that I had met at GA camp. They had come wow. as missionaries. And so once oh, again... Cool. WMU was mm-hmm. part of that. And then just when I came back to the States, I went to New Orleans Baptist Seminary thinking I was going to get my degree and go back overseas. And God had other plans. I met my husband there, and we're here still in the States, but we both have a huge love and heart for missions. And so just being involved in WMU in the churches we've been in, I've taught GAs in churches, I've taught ACT-teens. Our current church, I help with the children, teaching them missions discipleship. And so God's just continued that thread of WMU. And then, you know, getting to be a part of the leadership team here and then president. So when I was praying about this position, God just reminded me of all that mm-hmm. WMU history.
Yeah, awesome. So. Clint, it's the same response every time we've asked that question, that the importance of mission discipleship within the local church context, and God uses that to raise up the next generation over and over and over again as those who live on mission. Yeah. So just a word of encouragement to pastors and leaders who are listening into this segment. I cannot stress to you how important mission discipleship is in the local church. Mm-hmm. If you do not have a missions discipleship structure that you provide for children, for students, for adults in your church, God calls adults into missions as well, not just when they're young. Please make some contact with Laura and let's have some conversations. Let's get some curriculum, some resources in your hand. For how to do that in the local church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love you mentioned the summer after your freshman year of college. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've spent the last two episodes focusing on how the Lord's mm-hmm. working among mm-hmm. college students now and just seeing how the Lord continues to call college mm-hmm. students to the nations. And, And of course, that path may look different than you thought. You mentioned that already. and you talked about going to New Orleans, going to seminary, and you were there 20 years ago when Katrina hit.
Yes.
And recently, on the anniversary of that, you posted on Facebook some things that you guys had just reflection upon that time. Yeah. As you look back, what did the Lord teach you then that has helped you in other times of crisis? And were there scriptures that you rely upon? Just what did God teach you then that he continues to remind you of throughout?
Yeah, that was a really, really hard time for both Daniel and I. We didn't know each other at the time. We didn't meet until after we came back to the seminary in 2006. But it was very, very difficult going through that because he lost everything physically. I lost my home and my job and the school was closed. I moved back to Florida with my parents, which was hard in itself because I had been on my own for a long time. I'd lived overseas by myself, and here I was back with my parents. But what God reminded me through that was that he is absolutely in control at all times. I felt like at the beginning, I felt like my life had been thrown up into the air and just came down in 1,000 different pieces. But God reminded me that he knew before that happened that it was going to happen and that he was with me and that I could trust him. I went through a very dark period. I went through some depression during that. And so it was hard for me to read scripture and to pray. But worship music was very impactful. And so I would just put my headphones on. This was before earbuds. And
we won't talk about that.
And I would go outside and just walk around the neighborhood and just listen to worship music over and over and over. And that was so soothing. And there's still some songs that I hear today that will take me back to that. And I remember the faithfulness of the Lord. Mm-hmm. One of those was Casting Crowns, Praise You in the Storm. So that song had just come out when this happened.
Wow.
And the chorus, I'm just going to read real quick. It says, I'll praise you in the storm and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in the storm. And so... Mm-hmm. That was just a cry of my heart. I mean, I cried a lot of tears during those days. But God just reminded me over and over that he saw that, he held me, and he was faithful. And, you know, sometimes the Lord has to completely tear us down to build us back up into the person that he created us to be. And I look back and see that's really where he had me at that point. I also learned that his plans and ways are always better and higher than mine. And, so he used that time to rebuild me, to heal me. And then when I went back to New Orleans, I truly felt like a different person. And so a scripture that he's given me throughout the years that he's just reminded me of over and over and over in difficult times is Isaiah 41:10. Mm-hmm. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So I'm so thankful for his promises that I could hold on to.
Awesome. Great word. Well, looking ahead now, Laura, in this new position as executive director of Arkansas WMU, what excites you the most about serving in this new role?
I am very excited to see what God is going to do through me. I know that on my own, I can't do any of this. And there is some fear and trepidation, but just trusting that if God has called me to this, he's going to equip me for it. Leading me up to this point, he's been strengthening my prayer life. And now looking back, I see that he was preparing me for this. And I love Debbie Moore to death. She's definitely one of my heroes, but God didn't call me to be the next Debbie Moore. And I can't fill her shoes. I mean, she's very unique, and I don't even want to try to do that. But he called me to be obedient and faithful to him. And so I'm excited to, like you said earlier, I'm excited to just connect with churches around Arkansas, churches that maybe haven't ever emphasized missions discipleship, or maybe it's been a long time since they have, just having conversations and seeing, you know, how can we get this back in your church? Actually, last week I had my first consultation, which was great. And it was a lady that I met at Arkansas Baptist Women's Conference. She had never heard of WMU. She grew up in a Southern Baptist church, did not know.
Wow.
She didn't know about the IMB or NAM. I mean, there's a lot of Southern Baptist stuff she didn't know about. And that just opened my eyes to, wow, there's just a lot of education that needs to happen. But as I was sharing with her, she got so excited. And I mean, she's just, I can already tell she's going to jump in with both feet at her church. And so I'm excited to have more conversations like that.
Awesome. Awesome.
So you mentioned Miss Debbie, and we talked about Dixie and the legacy that that she left, of course. And but Miss Debbie definitely leaves a legacy.
For sure.
And like you said, nobody else can be her.
Yeah.
And so we, as we talked about, have honored her today in our little reception. But tell us how WMU is honoring her through the legacy of hope.
Yeah. So several months ago, I just started praying and asking the Lord, you know, what's the best way that we can honor Debbie? If you know her, you know she's a minimalist. She doesn't need any more stuff. And so I just was like, Lord, just show me, you know, what can we do to honor her? And so I started thinking about like maybe a scholarship or an endowment or something like that. So I reached out to National WMU, talked to Sandy Wisdom Martin and Connie Dixon, our national president. Got some ideas from them, and then talked with the Arkansas Baptist Foundation, and just what we ended up landing on was a fund to provide scholarships for Arkansas Baptist women who want to participate in a WMU-sponsored mission trip, whether that's local, you know, domestic, or international. And so I asked Debbie's sister, she's really good with names. And so I asked her if she would give me some ideas for a name of the fund. So she sent me several options and I sent those to our leadership team and had them vote. And it was unanimous: Legacy of Hope. So Debbie is from Hope, Arkansas. She's leaving a legacy of hope. And then, so it's Legacy of Hope More, M-O-O-R-E for her last name, More Missions Fund. And so people can give to that and it will go straight to scholarship women that are going on short-term trips.
And Clint, can we include that QR code? Is there a way of doing that with the show notes?
There's a link also.
Yeah, we'll have to put
there's
the
a
link.
We can put the link on. Okay, good. As a matter of fact, when this segment drops, Laura and Debbie are going to be on one of those trips.
That's right.
To Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
With some other WMU ladies. And tell them a little bit about that particular trip.
Yeah, so Debbie has been taking teams to Brooklyn. I think this may be her 15th year. And she tries to take them twice a year if possible. But there's an Arab American Friendship Center there that we teach English classes at. And then just go around that area, prayer walking, and just looking for ways to interact and build relationships with the people that live there. And so there's a lot. It's a very diverse international area, the part of Brooklyn that we go to. And so there's literally people from all over the world that we get to pass on the streets and meet in cafes or in shops or things like that. And so, yeah, we'll be there. And this time I get to take my daughter, so I'm excited to take
awesome.
Her.
Awesome. Now, the WMU motto is helping churches make disciples of Jesus who live on mission. And there are three primary ways that WMU of Arkansas seeks to help our churches make disciples of Jesus who live on mission. Mm-hmm. Take just a few moments, briefly share with us those three major emphases of helping churches to make disciples.
Yeah, so Sandy Wisdom Martin calls them the three rocks of WMU. So there's missions, discipleship, compassion ministries, and leadership development. So missions, discipleship, we've already talked about some, but that's just curriculum for all age levels, for men and women. So I know it's called Women's Missionary Union, but we have curriculum for both men and women, and for all, I mean, from babies all the way to 90-year-olds. We want everyone in the church learning about missions. And through that curriculum, they learn about our North American missionaries, our international missionaries, chaplains, volunteers. There's a prayer calendar where you can pray for all of our Southern Baptist missionaries every single day of the year. You can pray for them by name. If their name can't be published, then there's initials. And so you can pray for them, and it just becomes more of a personal thing for the different people. Send items to them as needed. So 13 million Southern Baptists who may never get to meet most of the missionaries, it just makes it become more personal getting to learn about our different missionaries that are serving currently. And then our compassion ministries, there's four of them. There's World Crafts, which I love. And there's a website where you can go online and order items off of World Crafts. But that develops sustainable fair trade businesses around the world. And so the vision of that is to offer income with dignity for women around the world who may be in really difficult areas. What I love about World Crafts is that National WMU takes on the burden of that. So they go ahead and buy the items from the artisans and then they resell them. So the artisans aren't waiting for the items to sell before they get their money. They get their money up front. And then Pure Water, Pure Love. That provides water filters to all IMB missionaries. It can also provide water filters to short-term teams that are going to places where there's not clean water to drink. And then there's also grants that it provides to dig wells and boreholes in places where clean water is not easily accessible. So when we took a team back in April to Liberia, we had a team of 11 that went from Arkansas. We stayed in a mission house, and we got there late at night, and so I didn't see what was around the area. But when we came outside the next morning, I looked up, and there was a huge well, and it said, Pure Water, Pure Love. And so the well there was paid for by a WMU grant. So that was exciting to get to stay there, and our clean water come from WMU. Yeah. And then there's the Baptist Nursing Fellowship, and that exists to empower, educate, and encourage nurses and medical workers to be on mission for Christ. And so that's a great way for medical workers to get involved. And they also offer continuing education classes, and they meet together once a year. And then the last one is Christian Women's Job Corps, Christian Men's Job Corps, and that seeks to equip women and men in a Christian context for life and employment. And we do have four Christian Women Job Corps in Arkansas. And so there's one in Benton, Paragould, Roland, and BB. So we're excited to have those, and prayerfully we'll be able to open more in the future. And then the final rock is leadership development. And so if you go on the WMU website, WMU.com, there's all kinds of courses that are available to strengthen your leadership abilities. There's courses on the foundation of missions. There's even courses for students. And so, awesome. You know, student leaders could go on there and use those with their students to teach them more about missions. So,
as we begin to wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? Maybe some burning word. This is your chance to say what you've always wanted to say.
So I often think about Henry Blackaby and experiencing God. And he said, look for where God is at work and join him in it. And that to me is what missions is about. This is God's mission, and we have the privilege of being a part. So be obedient and get involved. God has asked me over and over and over in my life to step out of my comfort zone and trust his plan. And he always equips me for the next task. The very common saying of he doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. I feel like I live by that. That's my testimony. So whatever he's calling you to do, just trust him with it and step out. And the joy that he will give you as you watch him work is unlike anything you've ever experienced. And also, I want to say that I want to connect with as many Arkansas Baptist churches as possible and see how Arkansas WMU can come alongside you to educate, equip, and encourage you in making disciples of Jesus who live on mission.
Awesome. Now, Laura, as we wrap up, share with us how our listeners can be praying for you and this new role as executive director.
First of all, thank you so much for praying for me. I really covet your prayers. Please pray I wouldn't worry or fear as I enter this new role. God keeps reminding me of Matthew 6 regarding worrying, that he takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. So how much more will he care for me? So pray that I'll be sensitive to the Spirit and allow him to lead me. Please also pray for my family as they adjust also. We're all very excited, but with change comes adjustment. And then also, I am a people pleaser, so pray that I will not look for man's approval, but only do what the Lord leads me to and seek his glory above all. Galatians 1:10 says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Awesome. Thank you. Let's take a moment. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you so much for Laura and her family. And just this legacy of missions that has been invested in her over the years. And now this new role that she has. So, Father, you've heard the concerns of her heart. And as a community, we just bear them before you and ask God that you give her confidence of the presence of your Spirit to take away any fear that might be there. Would you just give her a sensitivity to the leadership of your Spirit in her life? And Father, we also pray for Daniel and the kids, and thank you for them. Thank you that as you have called Laura to this position, they understand that calling, and they're going to be joining their mom and a lot of things to do with this. So I just pray you continue to nourish and encourage them as only you can. So Father, we give you praise for what you have done and what you are continuing to do. We also pray for Laura and Debbie and those who are in Brooklyn right now as we're listening to this podcast when it drops, and ask God for opportunities that you would give to them to speak to people there about the hope they have in Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, we've gotten to hear your heart and get to know you a little better. Our listeners have. And so now it's time for some deep theological questions. We like to refer to as rapid fire questions. And we probably don't let them ask as fast as they should be because we usually chase a rabbit here. But we want to know a little more about you. So before we get into all the favorites, let's start with between Daniel, Riley, and Ella, who's most likely to listen to this podcast?
Daniel.
Okay, I didn't figure it was that. I figured it'd be Ella.
We both know Daniel.
Yeah, I may sit Ella down and make her listen, I don't know.
I figured, teenagers, they'd want to listen on repeat, but maybe not. All right. Your favorite restaurant?
Any Italian restaurant. The best one I've ever been to is actually in Little Italy in New York City, but I like Italian a lot.
All right. Mm-hmm. Favorite meal?
Chicken Parmesan.
All right.
At an Italian restaurant.
There we go. What is your go-to relaxation spot?
So I would say the beach or any body of water, really. I grew up around water living in Jacksonville, but when we lived in New Orleans, my favorite place was going to Lake Pontchartrain and just sitting by the lake, and it was just so peaceful.
Yeah. Besides the Bible, what's your favorite book?
Chronicles of Narnia.
What about favorite podcast?
It's actually no longer being recorded because the podcaster became...
So we're off the air now. Yeah, that's it. We're not being... Go ahead, Laura. I'm sorry. That's supposed to be a softball question.
Well, what I was going to say was...
But she's being truthful.
Yeah.
I was going to say, after Mission Eyes, it would be The Glass House, but it's no longer being recorded because the guy recording it, Ben Mandrell, is now the pastor at Bellevue in Memphis. Yeah. And so, but one that's still currently on the air, I really like With the Perrys, which is Preston and Jackie Hill Perry.
What's your favorite genre of music?
I wrote down theologically sound worship music because there's lots of different worship music out there. But
what's the first concert you attended?
Do you guys remember Petra?
Yeah. Come on.
So you they.
Did we remember Petra?
I was maybe at that concert.
They came to a church near where I lived in Maryland. And so when I was a kid, that was my first concert.
When she was a kid.
Yeah.
I was in college when Petra was a thing.
Well, this must have been then toward the end because I was a teenager when they came. I'm pretty sure they came to the Youth Evangelism Conference one year. And I remember all the adults taking cotton because I guess that was before you had sort of hearing protection. So, all right, favorite place to visit?
We love to go to the mountains as a family. So any mountain range, it can be the Ozarks, the Ouachitas, the Smoky Mountains. We love to go to the mountains and get away.
All right, last one, favorite sport.
So this is kind of hard. I love to watch football, but my favorite would be whatever my kids are playing. And so right now my son's in tennis, and then in the spring it'll be baseball and softball.
Awesome. So. Awesome. Well, with that, we're going to wrap up this segment. And thank you, Laura, for being with us. We look forward and excited about what God has planned for our team and WMU under your leadership.
Thank you.
Until next time, hey guys, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.